And yet there are times when even as we do good, our motive should be what? Not hate, but our motive should be love. And when you love someone, guess what's going to happen? You're going to suffer for it. Because even though you forgive and forget, those people on that other side, they don't forgive or forget. They will harass you. And they'll even come against you.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. As we return to 1 Peter today, Raul will assure us that while open hostility to the gospel is on the rise, we can stand firm in God's truth. You know, fear is natural when our faith comes under fire, but it can give way to boldness when we turn our eyes toward Jesus. Stay tuned for encouragement to hold fast to your eternal hope, no matter what opposition or persecution you face for Christ. Here's Raul Reese in 1 Peter chapter 3.
There's so much going on in the world today. As I was studying today and this past week, just going back and reminding myself of what Peter was looking forward to. He was living in a time of great persecution. Rome was really in control. They were killing Christians, they were prosecuting them, killing them, and at the same time, torturing them. And there were hundreds and thousands of Christians that were wimping out. And they were saying, you know what? Caesar is Lord. I'm not going to bow my knees to Christ. And I thought how, not only with us today, but how Peter writes, and he writes with passion. And the first thing that we saw in chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, in our first study in chapter 3 here, the first observation we saw last week was the portrayal and the conduct that we need to have as Christians, especially when things get tough. The characteristics of that believer. Remember what he said? Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, and be courageous. And then what he does in the second observation as we were studying, he talked about the responsibility that we have to respond to hostility. What do you do when people are hostile toward you? Like all those hundreds and thousands of Christians that went before lions, being beheaded, being tarred, being burned alive, losing their wives, losing their children because they believed in Christ. And so Peter then says in verse 9, and not returning evil for evil, nor reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So he's telling us that if we really truly believe in Christ, and we really do what he says, that we're going to be blessed people. We don't have to be fearful of what comes or what's going to happen, because we're going to inherit eternal life. And then in the second observation, we looked at the confirmation from the Old Testament scriptures that were given to us here in chapter 3, verse 10, in verse 11, verse 12. And now we come to verse 13, the third observation. And what's interesting in this third observation is that now he tells us that we do not have to be afraid. There's a lot of times that people are really fearful of what's going to be happening to them, even though they haven't seen it yet, they become so fearful. And yet Peter himself, knowing and recognizing that Jesus had spoken to him and said that he was going to have an unusual death. Christ was crucified on the cross, and he says, but you, Peter, are going to be crucified upside down. You're going to die that way. And as I read history and go back to history, it must have been quite something as his wife stood there and began to see Peter crucified upside down. And as Peter there knew exactly what the Lord had told him and recognizing that just in a few hours, he would be in the presence of the Lord. And that should be really the attitude that every one of us should have every single day of our lives. Because we do not know when death will come. Death is always knocking on the door, always. And yet now in this third observation about not being really afraid, we think of all of the people that are in this world today, and yet Christians not only are coming to a place where the world is becoming hostile against us. And yet when you look back at China, you look back at the Russians that have been sent to Siberia because they were believers, and the persecution and prosecution that many believers in the 20th century and 21st century have been killed. Hundreds, thousands, and millions already. You just don't hear about it. But there's a book that's been written about it. Every single day, someone is dying for Jesus Christ in the world today. Because we are living in the last days. We are living in a hostile world today. And Christians are going to be hated. We're going to be hated like never, ever before. And yet we know, because of the word of God, that the Lord said that before he would come, there would be a purifying in the body of Christ before the Antichrist would make his appearance. And I believe that we're living in such a time as that. Because what he's going to do now in verse 13, the bodies of believers now, even though they're going to be attacked by the enemies of God's kingdom, yet you have to remember one thing, they cannot touch or reach your soul. God is the only one that can do that. In this life, we're going to be attacked by many people, verbally, physically, emotionally, mentally, whatever it is. And people are going to come to a place where they're going to hate you. So now Peter, in writing and talking to the church, in verse 13, he said this, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of that which is good?" Think about that for a moment. What Peter's saying here. The world's evil. You look at these kids that are graduating today in secular schools and even Christian schools, and you talk to them and you ask them, "What are you going to do now?" And many of them don't know what's going to happen. Oh yeah, they have dreams. But I thought yesterday as I was watching my nephew graduate, I saw that whole class graduating, I was thinking when I graduated from high school, never thinking that I would be a pastor or teacher. I mean, I had my own personal vision of what I was going to do in life. But when you find Christ, Christ seems not to change things, but what he does, he aligns your life perfectly with what he intended to do from the foundations of the world. I like that. That nothing is done by coincidence. It's all appointed by God. All you have to do is align yourself with Jesus. And you'll be right where he wants you to be. Why? Because we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And here when Peter is writing, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of that which is good?" In other words, Christians not only have an incredible contribution to make to this society. And that is how? By breaking the cycle of people returning evil for evil. Which means we don't get revenge. We don't go after people. But what do? We live lives for Jesus Christ. He is our imitator. We imitate him. And so when you think of your own calling, remember that we are citizens of God's kingdom, not citizens of this world. We're only here for a short time. Very short time. And then we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because time is very short. Time's running out. Believe it or not. I was talking to the staff today and I was thinking when I went to England for the first time back in 1974. I took a tour to Israel. I went all over Europe, you know, just to kind of feel the actual temperature of Europe in the church. And I can remember going to London, going to Scotland, going to Dublin, Ireland, and looking at the youth of that time in the 70s through the 80s and through the 90s and the 2000 now, and looking and watching the same thing that is happening to our country today. Same thing. There's an article been written that 90% of young people today say they don't really want to go to church because there's too much hypocrisy. They'd rather have their relationship outside of the church, personally, just with God. And when you go to England today, think of all of the religions of the world, especially Islam that's taken over, and the way they're not only going to be persecuting and prosecuting. And I mean, there's a lot of things going on. And the youth of Europe is totally empty. They're into drugs, they're alcohol, sexual adventures. And when you talk to the majority of youth today, they don't even know who God is. But yet there's a side of the youth that are searching for God. There are some young people that are searching for God. And it's really cool because your responsibility as a parent and as a grandparent, and you as a son and daughter, is to do what? Is to come to the knowledge personally of God in your life so that you can pass it on to the next generations to come. That's what the Bible teaches.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We'd like to take just a moment and remind you that we are here to help ground your life on the Scripture's firm foundation. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for resources and join Raul for Straight Talk Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel. Let's continue now with more from Raul Reese.
And so as we learn of conduct in the Bible, how we should behave, the reason that our friends or loved ones or enemies do not really want to come to know the Lord is because when they see our hypocrisy in our lives, what happens? We turn them off from Christ. We turn them away. And that's why we really have to be careful how we walk, how we talk, how we behave in public. Why? Because people are watching your lives. Everybody watches you. Even your children. They watch to see if you're real or you're a phony. And that's why when Peter writes now, he's talking about beginning not only to do good, because most people will return evil for good. But as Christians, we don't retaliate anymore. We are to forgive and forget and allow God to work in our behalf. But I know that's hard. It's hard on me. I know it's hard on you. Because my natural thing is to do what? You did that to me, I'm going to do it 10 times more to you. That's our nature. But if we're going to shine as light and become salt to this world, then people have to see the side of God in our lives. That we truly have been born again of the Holy Spirit. And yet, you know, when I was reading and studying, I saw that, however, here in the passage, Peter also becomes recognizable, and he recognizes the reality of a sinful society just like we see today. Wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you play, you can see that society is sick. It's sick. Oh, you have to go on television, watch some of these TV channels, man. It's sick. And yet we are the salt of the world. We are light in a dark world. And yet there are times when even as we do good, our motive should be what? Not hate, but our motive should be love. Like Christ Jesus. And when you love someone, guess what's going to happen? You're going to suffer for it. Because even though you forgive and forget, those people on that other side, they don't forgive or forget. They will harass you. And they'll even come against you. That's what Peter's talking about here. People are sinful and they love hurting other people by doing evil things to them, emotionally, physically, and however they can do it. Can you imagine how Peter must have felt when he denied the Lord, and then the Lord began to forgive him, and he learned from those lessons, and he repented when he denied the Lord three times. And then on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon him and baptized him and empowered him, and he was never ever again the same until Paul came along, and Paul and Peter got in a little argument, and Paul rebuked Peter for being self-righteous. Because Peter was not only a fisherman, Paul was the theologian. He saw this vision, and God said to Peter, Peter, you're a Jew, but now you can eat pork if you want to eat pork, because the law has been broken. We're under grace, no longer under law. And it was really something that Peter not only didn't really think about when he argued with Paul, but Paul knew the doctrine. And Paul rebuked him to the face. And it's really important that we understand that Peter not only is writing with passion, but also with great compassion, because just in a few months, he's going to die. Because the Roman government is taking over the whole country of Rome. And then Paul not only had warned, but Peter knew that his time was short. He knew it. Because later on, Peter is going to remind us that this is exactly not only what Jesus had said, but also how Jesus, when he denied the Lord, forgave him and gave him the baptism of the Holy Spirit and empowered him to become the disciple that he needed to do to lead the church. To lead the church. We should be the Christians that have the attitude when we're being persecuted, just like Peter, James, John, every one of them that died a horrible death, except for John the Beloved. He's the only one that didn't die. He died of natural causes, not of persecution. Judas committed suicide. But the other 10, they were killed grossly, except for John the Beloved. And yet when I think of Peter and I think of John and I think of James and all these that have come to know the knowledge of the truth, then how we as Christians, what should be my attitude when I'm being persecuted? Well, number one, we need to flee anything that is evil in this world, not to be drawn by it, but to flee from it. To show that we are true salt and true light. In Matthew 10:23, Jesus said, "And when they persecute you in the city, flee to another, for surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes," which means you're going to, before I come again the second time, you are going to be mistreated, you're going to be beaten, you're going to be defamed, you're going to even be killed. So be prepared. If you want to go from one place to the other place, flee. But eventually, is going to catch up to you. If that is the destiny of God for you to be tortured and killed, then that's what's going to happen. And then let's say this, when that happens, what's our attitude? He says, rejoice. Can you imagine that would be so hard to rejoice while they're killing you? How do you do that? Rejoice? Check this out. In Matthew 5:12, he says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." He reminds us of the Old Testament prophets, how they were cut in half. Isaiah the prophet was sawn in half. Remember Jeremiah, the weeping prophet? They beat him, they put him in prison. He almost died in a cistern that was full of mud, and he almost went in and suffocated under the mud. They went through a lot. I mean, we really haven't gone through anything, but yet Peter is saying, listen, we were doing cool until Rome came, and then Rome began to persecute the church. And I wonder what's going to happen in days to come. As I read the book of Revelation this past week, man, I was blown away. Man, I thank God that I'm not going to be here for the last 7 years of world history. Man, read chapters 6 through 18. You'll blow your mind of Revelation. You will blow your mind what's coming. People don't even know. They don't even know. Horrible stuff's coming, man. And what's amazing to me is it says that there are going to be people there when all these things happen, like these 180 to 200 pound hailstone that falls on the earth. And when the sea becomes full of blood, and every fish in the sea dies, and there's a stench that's really bad, and yet it says they don't repent. But they curse God. How can that be? That shows you the hardness of men's hearts, but not so for the church. Why? Because the third thing is the church needs to be patient when there's persecution. Patience. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 4:12. Paul says, "And we labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, and being persecuted, we endure." Man, Paul knew about beatings, shipwrecks. Paul the apostle had more happen to him in his life than any other disciple. And he writes and he says, being persecuted, we endure. Being reviled, we bless. We don't curse. We bless. And then listen what we do. Fourthly, we glorify God. We glorify God. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which are trying you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Don't think you're weird because you're going through a lot of weird things in your life. It's the Lord. The Lord is trying you, molding you, shaping you. And if you go into the fire, He will be with you in the fire and through the fire. That's what the Bible says. And what do? We glorify God. And then what do? We need to pray. We need to be prayed up. In Matthew 5:44, he says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Do good to those that hate you and pray for those who despisefully use you and persecute you." Think about that. This is Jesus speaking. Pray for those that are calling you names, pushing you around, saying all kinds of weird things to you. Just like the Lord, He's our example. We are His children, and one day we will have to go into the fire and through the fire and be tested.
It's natural to want to hit back when your faith comes under attack, but we hope that the reminder of Jesus' silent endurance will help you show grace and patience for those who oppose you. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to hear today's lesson in its unedited form, we'll send a copy to you for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. We'd also like to equip you with more wisdom from 1 Peter. Raul's 42-message series is available on either CD or flash drive. As you explore what it looks like to follow Christ with wholehearted devotion, you'll see that the Bible never says your life on this earth will be problem-free, but it does promise an eternal heavenly home. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Rawls' 42-lesson study of 1 Peter. We'll send you the CD collection for $63 or the thumb drive for $42. Our number once again is 800-634-9165. Or you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Check out iTunes and Spotify for podcasts of all of our previously aired programs, or look for them on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel. You'll also want to download our app for digital Bible studies and live-streamed teaching. And for Raul's insight into your Bible questions, email him at PastorRaul@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Thank you for your tax-deductible gifts. Your partnership is a great blessing to us as we spread the good news of the gospel. Tune in again next time as we consider more of 1 Peter's instructions for navigating the world's increasing animosity toward Jesus and His salvation. Now, with a final word from today's study, here's Raul once again.
You know what Jesus said in John 15:20? "Remember the word that I said to you, A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, Jesus, they will also persecute you. And if they kept my word, then they will keep yours also. So he's warning us. He's warning the disciples. If they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. Why? Because we're not greater than Jesus. You see? If they did it to our master, our King of Kings, and they spit on his face, and they put a sack over his face, and with their fists, they kept hitting him in the face. And then they put nails through his hands and his feet. And then they took a spear and pierced his side where the water and the blood came forth, and he died of a broken heart. What makes you or me better than him? Nothing. That is a really challenging thing in our lives tonight, to know what Peter is writing to us about. This is the good news. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.